listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 22nd, 2017. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And we welcome everyone listening to the live broadcast tonight, as well as those listening to the archive. And I should mention that Michael Kelly is also here with us producing the program.
Good evening, everybody. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which helps friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, and Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. As is customary, I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief. They are, number 1, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read the expanded version of these principles of belief, please visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. It's good to see so many in the chat tonight, listening to the live program. Tonight is one of our 4 special programs, 4 holidays, if you will. It's the Rite of Equinoctial Equilibrium. This is a ceremony and a rite that we do on the equinoxes twice each year, and then we also have 2 ceremonies we do on the solstices in the summer and in the winter. But tonight we're going to focus on the Rite of Equinoctial Equilibrium, and I'd like to just talk about what it means before we get into the program itself and to the ceremony itself. I should say that this is equivalent of a religious holiday for us, one of the 4, as I mentioned. And so this is something that we need to really pay attention to. ICMH church members pay careful attention to it, think about it, you know, look forward to it, because it's a time for us to essentially take a snapshot of where we're at. The March equinox is the spring equinox in the northern hemisphere and the fall equinox in the southern hemisphere. This is the time of the year when the days and the nights are equal in length. They are balanced, so we kind of take off that cue. So the equinox is a fitting symbol and a time of year to review our lives for balance, to take a personal snapshot of where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. It's kind of like a mile marker to stop and reassess where we're at in our journey. It's like we're going on a trip, you know. We might be using a GPS, but we've got to have a destination in mind first, right? And then you can add waypoints along the way. So if you were going to go across the country, wherever that is for you, you might want to see several places along the way. Well, it's kind of like life, isn't it? We may have a destination, some goals, some objectives, but we also have other things that we want to do along the way. So those are mile markers, and that's what we want to consider tonight. And the problem that many people they don't know where they want to go. They don't know what they want, really. They just get so caught up with life, the everyday life, that they've kind of forgotten about what they really want to accomplish in life. Well, we don't want to be that way. We want to be mindful of the things we want to accomplish in this life and where we want to go. So as we discuss this a little bit, there are basically four brief areas that I want to talk about. And they're questions. The questions are, who am I? Where am I? Where am I going? And what am I willing to trade? And so let's talk about those four questions just a little bit. First of all, who am I? You know, what are my core values? A lot of us obviously got our core values from our parents growing up, and unfortunately, a lot of people carry unhealthy core values along with them into adulthood, and they, you know, make an excuse for it. Well, that's just the way I was raised. And, you know, somehow that seems to excuse the idea that they don't have to change for the better. Well, we don't want to use that excuse. We want to really know who we are and why we are who we are. You know, here's another question that's part of this. Who am I? What do I believe and disbelieve and why? You know, what are my greatest fears and why? Is my general behavior consistent with who I want to be? Those are good questions to make you think. You know, speaking of fears, you know, I think I heard it first from Zig Ziglar, F-E-A-R, you know, false expectations appearing real, or false evidence, I should say, appearing real. That's fears. You know, fears, most of our fears are irrational in nature, and they're not based on the real. They're based on our real. And so we have to reassess those, and fears are just something that holds us back. They're not real as a rule. There's always exceptions to the rules, but most of our fears are irrational, and they hold us back. So we want to consider, who am I? What are my core values? What do I believe, disbelieve, and why? What are my greatest fears and why? And is my general behavior consistent with who I want to be? Those are good questions. The next main question is, where am I? What is my life like right now and why? What are my relationships like right now and why? Am I where I wanted to be at this point in my life? And if not, why? And I would say that probably a lot of us say, well, we thought we'd be in a different place at this point in our lives. That's okay. The important part is, where are you going to go from here? That's what's important. Where are you going to go from here? What do you want to accomplish? I'll tell you, you know, it's an interesting fact. We have students ranging pretty much from all ages in our school. You know, we've had students as young as in their late teens all the way up into their 80s. And it's interesting that probably the biggest demographic of student in our schools, age group wise, is probably in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. Isn't that interesting? Yes, we have them younger and we have some older, but I think the predominant age for most of our students is in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And that's because we get to a point in life where we realize, hey, there's more to it. We need to get on with it. We need to, you know, pedal a little faster to get where we want to go. And that means changing directions and learning new things. So these are good questions. Where am I? Am I where I wanted to be at this point in my life? If not, why? You know, what's my life like right now and why? What are my relationships like right now and why? And the cool thing is if we don't like where it all is, we can change that. That's a good thing. And of course, the next big question, main question, is where am I going? Do I know where I want to go? Am I living my dream? Are you living your dream? Most people, when I ask that question, say no. And my response is, why? Well, the way to figure out what you want, a lot of people say, I don't know what I want. I don't know what my dream is. And the answer to that, my response to that is, well, what do you call a good day? What do you call a good day? And that's something you don't just rattle off the top of your head. You got to think about that. How do you define a good day? Ideally speaking, what would be the perfect day for you? That will help you to determine your dream, where you want to go. And so then a follow-up question of this is, what changes do I need to make in order to be at the next waypoint in 3 months, at the next spot? And it may not be 3 months, it could be 6 months, but when is the next step along the way to your destination, and how are you going to get there? The last big question that I want to talk about before we get into our ceremony is, what am I willing to trade to get where I want to go? There's always a trade-off, and it's inherently implied that that trade-off is trading up. Anytime you want to buy something, maybe you want to get a new car or a new TV or something, you trade money for it, don't you? And that's because you want that thing more than you want the money. So you trade the money for that thing, whatever it may be. And you would feel that that was a trade up. You got what you wanted, so you're happier with it than you were with that money in your pocket. Well, it's the same thing in life. If you want certain things, what are you willing to trade to get those things? And presumably it's a trade up. Those are questions you need to examine and explore so that you know how to get where you want to go and get started. So keep these thought-provoking questions in mind as we observe the rite of equinoctial equilibrium ceremony. And if you have a candle handy, I should have mentioned this at the outset, it's great. If not, that's okay. But it's nice to have it because it's kind of centered around that. So we're going to begin our ceremony. It just lasts a few minutes, so we'll take a quick pause and a little bit of silence here to begin. With the lighting of the flame, we commence the rite of equinoctial equilibrium, the time of the year which the day and the night are aligned and in balance. We invite all those who are able to now join us in lighting the ceremonial flame.
Through the universe, of which I'm a part, beats the energy of life and into my heart. A flame of fire lights up my soul with will and desire for the world to know. The energy of life beats through my heart and through the universe of which I'm a part.
With the lighting of the flame, we symbolically transfer the fire of our spirit to a visual representation that we can see and feel. For in this way, we are reminded of the power of this fire, the power of our spirit, the fire of our passion to fulfill our unique and individual purpose, the passion of our spirit to do no harm and to do right. The never-ending light and warmth contained within us that honors the divine nature of all life and regards all sentient life as equal, having one common origin in the stuff of stars. We are one planet and one race, with one ancestry and one destiny.
Connectedness.
The energy of our unfettered consciousness creates an expanded awareness of the profound connection that we have to one another, to all divine life, to Mother Earth, and to the universe. We pause in grateful acknowledgement of the universal consciousness that connects and unites us all. We take a moment of silence in honor, remembrance, and appreciation for the interdependent relationships we have with those closest to us and with all living things.
Responsibility.
We are connected to all things, and yet we are one. And in each one of us lies the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately prevail in the face of any dilemma, to rise above any obstacle, to triumph over any challenge. We recognize the inherent responsibility we have as a race of adept beings to resolve the challenges before us and acknowledge that this is as it should be.
Self-completeness.
The flame before us is complete within itself. It needs no other spark to sustain it. We too are complete within ourselves and need no other spark to sustain us. The synergy of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. We need nothing nor anyone outside ourselves for the answers we seek already exist within us. Our flame is within. We look there.
Equilibrium.
This is the time of the year that the day and the night are in balance. They are equal. It is in this equilibrium that we seek to reconcile the things unequal, to recalibrate the things unbalanced, to recenter our consciousness and awareness, to realign our thoughts with the fulfillment of our individual and unique purpose. We draw from the cycles, phases, and rhythms of the universe that continue in perfect harmony from time immemorial. We attune the cycles, phases, and rhythms inherent in our own inner universe that they may serve our highest good and that we may serve others for their highest good in the spirit of do no harm and do right. So the day, so the night, so the universe, so our life. Equilibrium is renewed.
Positive consciousness.
In our innermost thoughts, in our heart of hearts, we strive toward positive consciousness harboring ill will toward no form of life. So the energy within, so the energy without, so the one, so the many. We possess conscious awareness of the universal mind, the universal consciousness, the interconnectedness of all who are. Thus, synergy is created. We pause for a moment to send out positive energy to those in need. We recognize the power of gratitude and deliberate intent. For like attracts like, and the like that we positively intend is the like that we invite, and the sum that we receive. We pause for a moment of silence to calibrate our intent, to send positive and deliberate intent out into the universe in harmony with our own unique purpose so that it may return to us in due time. As the fire of the flame burns before us, so too burns the flame of our passion for doing right and the fire in our soul to immerse everything around us in the bright light of our positive intent. May the fire of our essence burn brightly to the higher good of all who are.
The fires of life burn deeply within, joined with the universe, and creations begin, brightly shining, new thoughts akin, and so it is, the light within, and so it is.
With the quenching of the flame, we affirm the transference of its light, warmth, and energy to empower the spirit within us as a beacon of light shining brightly upon the world in the strength of do no harm and do right. We make it so, and so it is. The flame is transferred. This completes the rite of equinoctial equilibrium. We thank you for joining us in the ceremony, and we invite you to join us again for our next ceremony. It's honor about the next solstice, which is honor about June 21st of this year. So hopefully this ceremony has got you thinking, and it's been encouraging a little bit. And in that same vein, I'd like to mention a couple of points from one of our students that she just put in an assignment from our course M1 at IMHS. And she made some great points. I want to just share a couple of them with you. The first one that she talks about is a good one. It's about basically not worrying about things. You know, we've all got worries probably. And Ed Foreman, motivational speaker, former congressman, once said, worry is the misuse of the imagination. Basically, when you worry, you're borrowing perceived problems from tomorrow to deal with today. And so the student writes, she says, I've never been much of a worrier and was taught as a young child to have deep faith, not religious faith. I did not attend church often, but deep faith that everything always works out somehow in some way. Now at this stage of my journey, I realize how much power we each have to create our life and influence how things go for us. But when I was a child, it was pure magic, and I didn't realize that it was my power of belief in things working out well for me that made such a difference. My favorite statement is, everything always works out for me, always and in all ways. I say this every day, and anytime something comes up that could be an issue, I will repeat this statement out loud and or in my head. I also use the statement when I'm manifesting something to go my way and to the highest good for all. It works every time. And that statement, once again, everything always works out for me, always and in all ways. And I really appreciated this point, because this is something that's been on my mind for the last many years, that things always work out. They just seem to work out. And we have to have that positive attitude. We talked about positive intent in the ceremony. And we have a card from our Oracle card deck on that, positive intent. We have to expect things to turn out positive and to turn out to work out. And that's a great saying. Any comments, Dr. Hunter?
Nope, that about sums it up, I think.
Okay. And then another point that she had mentioned is about getting our mind off our troubles. So it kind of goes along with the same thing. You know, things will always work out. She says that I completely agree with your idea that when we do for others, we get our mind off our own troubles. I have found that self-absorbed people seem to have the most problems and are often the unhappiest type of people. Doing what we can to help others in need sends out a beautiful ripple effect that continues long after the deed is done. I thrive on making a positive impact on others' lives in my work and in my personal life. And she says this quote by Eleanor Roosevelt moved her as well. And the quote is, when you cease to make a contribution, you begin to die. So those are good points. So the gist of this is, things will always work out. So if you're in the midst of some trouble, have that positive attitude. That doesn't mean you can just sit around. Remember, there's always a trade-off. So what do you need to do for things to work out? And if you're in the midst of adversity, remember that adversity is simply a state of disorder. You put things back in their proper order, and the adversity will leave in due time. Things will always work out, and we want to get our mind off our troubles and ourselves by paying it forward, by helping others, doing good things for others too. Anything, Dr. Hunter?
Well, you know, it brings to mind one of our students, and I'm not going to mention her name. I happened to have a session with her the other day. This is a woman who has raised 32 kids. 7 were her own. The rest were foster kids. Right now, she's taking care of still a little swarm of people and struggling with and dealing with skin cancer. Now, this woman's like, she's really colorful and fun and straightforward and really optimistic. And she says that she's learned so much about herself and her life.
Lost.
Sorry?
Are we still connected, son?
Nobody can hear me? I hope we have sound.
It was my fault.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. So ahead. I think that, you know, when you're having a hard time, when you're having a difficult moment, and that's not in any way to minimize the adversity or struggle or challenges that we have, but it's there's always someone else who is going through a tough time too. And that's where we're all connected. We're human beings facing life. Life will always bring us challenges, right? And the least suspecting challenges. But we network and we get together and we lift each other up and we support each other. And so maybe, I don't know why so many difficult things happen to people. But maybe the flip side is that it teaches us more about who we are and what we're made of. And so again, not to minimize difficulty whatsoever, but you know, we're in it together and to help each other out. And that's what I like to believe that we impart here, is to be there for each other, to support each other and call upon the strength that you never knew you had. It's pretty amazing.
You know, when you told me about her and what she's done, the thing that comes to mind is the unsung heroes that are around us.
Wow.
And,
yep.
You know, we would have never known that. And how many people are out there who do things like that? I mean, she made a positive difference in 32 children's lives,
yep.
Foster kids. And, you know, there are people out there, folks. You know, not everybody's bad. Not saying you all think that, but sometimes we, in this world, we wonder if there are any decent people around. There's tons of decent people around. You know, they're just busy doing their decent things and you know, probably read about them much in the news. Oh, every now and then they have a happy story in the news, but there's so many unsung heroes out there just doing their thing and quietly paying it forward and making a difference in the lives of others. And that was warm and it was refreshing and it was kind of revitalizes your faith in humanity yet again.
You know, and this is the thing that no matter who you encounter, just remember they have a story.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you have a story. I've got a story, you've got a story, everybody's got a story. So no matter who you encounter in a day or in a week, everybody's got a story. So, you know, and some stories are pretty remarkable.
They are. And it reminds me, too, of, you know, the paying it forward thing again, that and the helping others get our mind off ourselves, not taking ourselves too seriously. You know, there's a lot of folks moving around that are just, you know, they're down on life. They don't have they don't have that spirited spirit. They don't have that optimistic spirit full of life. Because they're just so bogged down with life and some of the hardships. But, you know, happiness is where you see it. And if you believe it's good, then it is good. If you believe it's bad, then it is bad. You know, there's plenty of bad in the world if that's what you want to see. But there's also plenty of good if that's what you want to see. And I've mentioned this on this program before. A friend of mine named Gregory, he always used to use the expression, that's, you know, I don't have that in my world. And, you know, and that was just such a great thing. I don't see those things in my world. And in other words, he was choosy as to what he would let in his world, what he would entertain in his world. And he didn't entertain some of the negatives and some of the foolish things, you know, they weren't part of his world. And that was a good expression. So we need to make sure that we control what's part of our world and see the good that's out there. Yeah, there's some stuff that goes on, bad stuff, sure. But there's a lot of people out in this world who don't like what's going on in the world, who are busy trying to help others, who are trying to make a difference, who want, genuinely, from a heartfelt point of view, they want to help other people. And that has never been more apparent to me than since I started this church and the school. It's like, these folks just come out of the woodwork, and it was so, man, I'll tell you, it restored my faith in humanity. It restored my hope that, yeah, we can do this. We can get past this.
You know, I might also add that we decide what we're going to do with it. And I would like to footnote that this same student of ours, we got a note from her to say that she, when she learned that the Meals on Wheels program was being axed in the U.S., she went to her local chapter and started a rally, and she's now involved, and she is doing fundraising and getting to know all the people who are the recipients of Meals on Wheels. And she got a bunch of people together to do a program. Now, she's looking after two stroke victims, a son with cerebral palsy, and another one with Asperger's. That's a house full. She runs a metaphysical store. Her children work for her, you know, as they're able. And it's a really remarkable effort. When she sees stuff she doesn't like, she said, this is wrong. I'm going to go fix that. Now, we could say that there might be an element of, you know, we could look at the flip side and say, you know, boy, she's got a martyr problem or she's got a whatever problem. No, she's a participant. This is a woman who participates to every extent that she can. And, you know, she's deciding life. She's deciding what kind of life she's going to have and what she's going to contribute. And as she gets older, you know, and again, we're all getting older, it's a new view, because that's what time does. Time changes our view of life. But that doesn't stop her from saying, oh, that's not right. I'm going to go get that done. I'm going to get some people together, and we're just going to take care of these old folks. And that's pretty cool.
All right. So if you would like a card pulled from our Inner Oracle card deck, please put your name in the chat room, and we'll get to that. In the meantime, Dr. Hunter, will you pull a card for the evening? And just for those who are not familiar with our Inner Oracle card deck, there's self-discovery cards. And there's 54 cards and several different suits. And you can, if you want a deck of your own, you can get more information on the church website, metaphysicalhumanism.org. Just click on the store link and you'll see them there.
Well, the card that I pulled was groundedness. And it's number 37 in the life skills suit. And maybe that is appropriate. You know, we're looking at the fundamentals of life and how we live it. So remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you've considered all the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Good. It's always, groundedness is one of the foundations of this church and of all, everything we teach. Keeping your feet on the ground and your head on your shoulders. And in fact, I even think that same student we've been talking about referred to some as, you know, the fluffy unicorn people. And that's not the place to be. So, Michael, do you want to pull a card for our first contestant?
First one is Tabitha, I believe.
Yeah, I would be more than happy to. Sorry, it takes me just a second to get the mic turned on. All right, so Tabitha, I pulled number 38 for you, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
It's interesting, the card just before that was groundedness. And now there's almost a seeming contradiction with being open-minded, but they're not contradictions. We need to be open-minded. We just don't want to be so open-minded our brains fall out. But we need to keep our feet on the ground as well.
Absolutely. Need to be sometimes cautious of easy, sometimes seemingly too easy truths. Just too simplistic a view. And also,
go ahead.
Just to kind of tie it around, open-mindedness, I think, kind of falls right in with what we were talking about earlier, and that is really being observant of the life around us, not just being so focused on ourselves, but being, you know, mindful of the lives around us, because sometimes it shows us what truly can be possible in life that we might not have discovered on our own.
Good point. You know, the older I get, the more I realize there's a lot more to life than our petty problems and the things that we have to face. We all, as Dr. Hunter said, we all have our story. We all have our problems, you know. But there's so much more to life than just being overstressed with the day-to-day stuff. There's a bigger picture. All right. Who's next?
Colleen is next there, Michael.
All right, let's see. All right, this is a great card. Colleen, I pulled number 22. Think for yourself.
Well, almost similar.
It goes very well with the other, but hold on. All Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
That's a good card.
Goes hand in hand with the previous, too.
Yeah.
And you have Fran next, Michael.
All right, I guess we're going on a roll. All right, Fran, let's see here. Always applicable. It's wild card number 5, don't hate.
Yeah.
A low-energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right. To self and others.
Good.
So in whatever context you relate to that, friend, and it resonates you in some, with you in some way, sometimes it's a small thing in a day, too, you know.
Yeah.
So Melissa is next. Michael?
All right. Pulling from the middle of the deck on this one. Feels right.
Always a good thing.
Melissa, I pulled number 40, relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship, or to the relationship of one thing to another.
Yep.
So hopefully that resonates with you too. So, and for the final card that I can see in the chat room, it's Dr. Phyllis. Nice to have you with us, Dr. Phyllis.
Taz is after that.
Oh, I didn't see Taz. Sorry. We'll get you, Taz. Dr. Phyllis first there, Michael.
All right, Dr. Phyllis. Number 10, indomitable power of the human spirit. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
That kind of goes in line with what we were talking about in our ceremony, really, is positive intent. And then after that, you know, always expecting that things will work out. They will.
Well, and, you know, the example you used before with the kids and that situation is nothing but an excellent example of the indomitable power of the human spirit.
And it is an incredible thing. The human spirit is amazing, and we all need to remember that. Our human spirit is amazing, every single one of us. Never, ever doubt that. Okay, so...
Taz is the last one there. Michael, go ahead.
All right, Taz. Let's see. All right, I pulled number 12. Spirit, cosmos, divine energy. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit, or higher self, within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
Good. I like that card.
That's a good one. We haven't pulled that one in a while.
Yeah, long time. I think Fran wanted to know if you'd pull in Vicky for a snapshot for tonight. No?
What does that mean? I'm sorry, I had my mute button on. Gee. Oh. Sorry about that.
I hate it when that happens. pull one more card for just a kind of a concluding snapshot.
I just pulled positive consciousness.
Well, really?
and we already read that. You know, I would like to say on, our spring celebration here, traditions are really important. I think it keeps us grounded and gets a rhythm, a routine, a connectedness with nature, with our consciousness, the universe. And so I encourage anybody to, if you don't know about your culture, you don't know about what kinds of traditions there would be in your culture or your family, for instance, look up a few things and find something that resonates with you. You know, we always light a candle. That's the fire of life. And, you know, we all operate on that fire of life. But there may be other things that you like to do. I know with the Easter coming up, one of the things that we do in my family is everybody gets a boiled egg, and you eat that egg. It's the seed of life. And the shell goes into, we crush it up, and that goes into a little pouch. And that's, you know, symbolically your protection for the following year. And the next year, of course, you take that out and you scatter it to the earth. And that's just something that we do. I pass that on to my children and on my grandchildren. Find something that works for you, something that makes sense, and understanding its intent of what that is. It's a really powerful way to direct your energy, direct your thoughts, and find a really cool rhythm in life.
All right, so Fran's asking about a 5-card story, and I'm going to leave that up to Dr. Hunter, whether she wants to do that or not.
You know, it's true. I don't mind doing that 5-card story. I'll just take 5 cards out here all at the same time, turn them all over, and see what we have, and see what kind of, like that balance and order, and then some. Hope, sacred obligations, and self-mastery. You know, that does tell a story in and of itself. And kind of what we were, talking, like even throughout tonight's program, I'll read them quickly. I'll just go with the flow here and see if this resonates with you. So this will be an overall. With this card of balance and order, it's balance and order in life or specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and, of course, respect for free will. And then some, which is number 2 in the wild card deck, by the way. When you've reached your limits and believe you've done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than's needed and go beyond what's required to make a positive difference. You can do it. By doing so, you're leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it. The 3rd card was hope. That's also in the wild card, number 7. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, doesn't create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope. So then we move to the sacred obligations, and this is a great way to, you know, again, that touchstone tradition, that get grounded, you know, something to fall back on, you know, what are those sacred obligations? A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm and do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change. Evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness. Promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations. And this lends right to this final card in this five spread, self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. So, you know, I think that tells a little journey there. You know, get some balance in your life, you know, the fundamental principles, and then some, have hope, and then remember who we are, I think, as spiritual beings, you know, living a human experience in our sacred obligations, and aspire towards self-mastery. And self-mastery, in my view, is just being in good management of the self and always, you know, striving for that greater good for the self and for others. So again, we're spirits living a human journey, and that's what this is. I really truly believe that no amount of, you know, great enlightened reading or material is it's just good literature, I suppose. It has really no value unless you can put that into daily effect. So remember, whatever you learn, make sure that you can translate that into some good life skill, some good principle, and remembering those sacred obligations.
Okay. Anyway, we're gonna go ahead and wrap things up. And if you did miss that part, I know some were saying they couldn't hear Dr. Hunter, but check the archive and you'll be able to hear it. So we'll start the music, wrap things up real quick here. We talked about, of course, our ceremony tonight, the rite of equinoctial equilibrium, one of our four holidays a year. We talked about open-mindedness, thinking for yourself, don't hate, relationships, indomitable power of the human spirit, spirit cosmos and divine energy, positive consciousness, then we did our five-card story. A lot of things to get you thinking, a lot of things to think about tonight, and we appreciate everybody being with us this evening. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael for producing the program. And we'll look for everyone next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Happy spring.
Good night, everybody.